Welcome, my friends, to Scry Me River, the Gaming Advice Podcast. I'm Riley.
I'm Dennis.
And we're here to solve your problems. This time, actually recording in the week that we appear to be. We tried to do a little radio trip last week.
I was away on holiday last week, or on vacation for our American listeners, and we did pre-record last week's episode.
And it was going really well until Dennis had an up-to-the-minute update for us with Hideo Kojima's new Metal Gear Solid game, which, Dennis, how's Metal Gear Solid 6 looking?
Oh, looking pretty good! It was a scam, Riley. They played me like a damn fiddle, me and everybody else. Everybody was excited for the abandoned stuff. We knew the risks. We knew there was a strong chance this would happen, and lo and behold, here we are.
Very interesting for those of you coming back to the show and listening to it one episode after the other, or indeed those maybe going back and having the second listen, the binge listen, to compare last week's Dennis to today's Dennis. A little bit crestfallen.
I almost snapped myself in half.
Well, tell us about this. So you went to Croatia for your holidays. That's why we didn't record an episode live last week.
Went on an old school holiday with some friends of mine. Jeff, who's guested on the podcast involuntarily, was there. Oshin, some of you might know. Nikki was there, obviously. Mm-hmm. And we did a bunch of stuff.
Just an actual holiday,
Got an Airbnb, swam a bunch.
Yep.
Went to the beach, ate a bunch of food. I'll get to that in a second. Mm-hmm. But actually, I'll do the food first. So one of the only things in the world that I'm gatekeepy about is cevapi, which is a Balkan dish. Mm. It's like a grilled meat dish.
It's like they're like little skinless sausages.
Kind of, yeah. And you grill them and you serve them and usually put them... My family is from Herzegovina and Bosnia. So we eat in the way where you put them in a little like flatbread, you put the meat in, you put some chopped onion in, you put some kaimak in, which is like a savory cream thing, you put some ajvar in, which is like a red pepper paste, and mwah. Premium.
They are delicious. And I mean, people who know me will know that I don't like weird food, and I love what is it? How do you say it?
Cevapi.
Okay, so I wasn't too far off.
So there's a Key and Peele sketch about this where they go to a Macedonian restaurant and they go to an Armenian restaurant, and they're exactly the same. One of them calls it cevapi, one of them calls it kebapi, and they serve it in minorly different ways, and they're like, no, can't do it.
Yeah.
And in Croatia, they serve it with chips, mate. Can't hack it.
What are you talking about? Delicious.
Inauthentic.
Chips
are like my favorite food in the world.
Dish that is made worse. There's no savory dish on earth that's made worse with chips.
It's more that when they bring them out with chips, you're like, they didn't cook them right. They didn't.
Okay.
It's a red flag.
Gatekeeping.
We went to Dubrovnik, and we went to the only Bosnian restaurant in Dubrovnik.
Dennis was dragging them all
down there by
the hair. I was
like, shut up. We're going here.
Yeah.
Bosnian restaurant, obviously called the Taj Mahal.
Yep. Of course. Famous Bosnian landmark, the Taj Mahal.
I guess it's a famous Muslim landmark, but sure. And, we went there. Premium. Amazing.
Everybody
loved it. So good. No chips. Not a chip inside.
Okay. All right.
Excellent. We went back to another restaurant. They're back in like 2 nights later, and the waiter was like, oh, you know.
Was this a Croatian restaurant?
Yeah.
What was it called? Notre Dame de Paris?
Yeah, Notre Dame de Paris, exactly. And we're sitting there, and the waiter comes up, and it transpires that he is also from Bosnia-Herzegovina.
Okay.
And he's like, oh, I was like, yeah, I don't like the way they serve cevapi here. And he was like, oh, did you go to Dubrovnik? I was like, yeah. And he was like, did you? And I was like, Taj Mahal? He was like, yeah.
Yeah, very good. This little secret handshake amongst
It's a real thing,
yeah,
dude.
That's very, I love, that's funny, yeah.
I sent a picture of it to my father, and he was like, he said, if it comes out with chips, send it back. It's not the real. And I was like, oh, wow.
Wow. Dennis is usually pretty chilled out about stuff. Like, Dennis is very much a live and let live kind of guy with most things. And, I mean, your family as well. I mean, they've been through the ringer. And they recognize that, you know, different strokes are different folks. But apparently, this far and no further for Mozart.
Like, I was talking to Oshin. Oshin was with us. He's one of my closest friends I've known for years. And he was like, I have never seen you like this about anything before.
No. Dennis is always like, you know, I eat like an absolute idiot. And Dennis is just like, he rolls his eyes at me, but he doesn't get in the way.
No,
you know, this was like... You love telling that story about Prague, right? I like to take you out to dinner, Riley. Where do you want to go? And I'm like, KFC, snap it off. And Dennis is like, I was expecting to go to a nice fancy restaurant and have a sit down with a meal with my good mate, Riley. And nope, we're just eating a family value bucket.
Let's go. I had a great time.
It was a good meal.
Yeah, I almost shattered my spine in Croatia.
Yeah, so what happened there?
So...
Did you go back into the kitchen and try to
bust the people up? Yeah. Like Jesus coming into the temple with all the merchants in it. Yeah. There was a bunch of water sports activities there.
Dennis, we don't need to know about this. Family-friendly podcast, mate. You and Nikki get up to in your private time?
Yeah, in the privacy of your own home. Yeah.
Okay.
So some of our friends went parasailing, which I wasn't keen to do, and B was a little scared to do because it's just very high up.
Yeah.
But then there was this thing called a UFO.
Right.
Okay.
Which is basically a big yellow inflatable dinghy that four of you climb into, and then some guy whips you around in a jet ski around the bay.
I've done that in Australia. We call them a donut.
Yeah, this is a closed top one. So this it's like
it's like a little bubble.
No. So closed top's the wrong word. It's like a platform with a wall, like a tiny little wall.
Oh, so it's like a pool.
Yeah, it's like a jacuzzi.
It's like a kiddie pool, except it's keeping the water out.
Only wall on one side.
Okay.
So we got in. I was like, oh, it's gonna be fine. This is like clearly for kids. It's gonna be whatever. No. I have never more identified with the phrase clinging for dear life.
Yes.
It is something else, man.
And throwing you back out as well, Dennis, you're getting those age debuffs.
Yeah, the age debuffs. I'm cresting on 30, dude. Throwing my back out, it's like a multi-day problem now.
Yeah. It won't be long before you got those clicky knees and...
Oh, my knee already clicks.
Oh, does it really?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know when my knees
Nikki's start. Knee, my fiancé. Nikki's knee, sometimes when she stands up, sounds like a garbage bag full of wet sticks. It's awful.
Oh, Dennis, why did you... That's a very pleasant oral image to kick the show off with. Anyway, I'm glad you had a good time. It's good to have you back. Dennis, guess who else is going on a holiday?
Who else is going on holiday?
This guy right here. Would you like one guess?
Mm.
Now, Dennis, you know me. You know me quite well. Actually, here's an interesting question. Would you describe me as a creature of habit?
Yes.
You would?
Yes. So it won't surprise you. 1000% yes.
It won't surprise you to learn that when it came to booking my first holiday in a year and a half, I have booked it for the same place that I always go to do the same things I always do in the same hotel. That's not true. I did book a nice hotel than usual. I'm going to Garmisch-Partenkirchen, which is in southern Germany, in Bavaria. Mm-hmm. It's nestled between three mountains, one of which, Dennis, is called Mount Wank.
You're going to go climb Mount Wank?
Which is spelled W-A-N-K. I'm not sure if I'll climb it, or I may take the like chairlift thing up there.
Mm-hmm.
The wank barn.
But the wank wagon.
No, it's called the wank barn.
Is there a...
That's not a joke. It's written on the side of it, the wank barn.
If there was a shuttle bus, that would be called a wank wagon, though, wouldn't it?
Wank wagon, yeah. The wank wagon, yeah. Yeah, that would probably work.
My first car in high school was called the wank wagon.
But at the top of the mountain, Dennis, there is a beautiful... There's a beer hall, right? A beer house. Beautiful panoramic views of the surrounding countryside, that sort of thing like that. And it's called the Wank House.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a great... every time I've gone to the Wank House, I've had a great time.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Creature of habit. First holiday.
Yeah. Off to the Wank House. That's where I go. But I'm going to go to Garmisch-Partenkirchen. And I'll be there for our 100th episode.
Wow. Special episode from the German mountains.
A special episode from the Wank House, perhaps.
How good is the reception on Mount Wank?
We might be testing things there. I don't know if they've got Wi-Fi. They also close at 3 p.m, so I'd have to get up there pretty early.
That's odd.
It's weird. Germany, tis a silly place.
It's a silly place. Yeah.
You know the supermarkets still don't open on Sundays in Germany.
You know, I've never been to Germany.
Have you never been to Germany?
I had an involuntary 24-hour layover in Frankfurt once, but that doesn't really count.
That doesn't really count. Germany's great.
I'd love to go to Berlin someday.
It is just absolute top shelf country. Anyway, looking forward to that. I don't know why I felt the need to bring it up. I guess I'm just slightly jealous of the fact that you have been on holiday and I haven't, but soon.
Soon.
So, Dennis, let's move on to the very serious business of the advice questions that have come in. But before we do that, it's time to pay the piper.
Time to pay the pipers over at channelfiber.com, really.
Channelfiber.com. It's been 2 weeks since we've recorded a proper live ad for them, not a speculative one about what we think is going to be happening in the coming week. So, Dennis, with the benefit of a real-time recording that will be released tomorrow, what's cooking at channelfiber.com?
Is it really going to be released tomorrow? I suppose it is, huh?
It is. We're recording this on Wednesday. We always record this on Wednesday.
This week's going by at breakneck speed, baby.
Oh, yeah. Break back speed.
Big thing, Riley. Breakbacks indeed. Broke back, Wank Mountain.
it's all coming together today.
It's just the number one place, Riley. For your Tales of Aria Flesh and Blood pre-orders, for your Evolving Skies, get your Pocket Man in your pockets, get your all your AFR cards, get all the stat cards you have for 2022 Standard. Back out to your game store. Get back out there.
Show people who's boss. It's been a long time. Have you asserted your dominance at your LGS recently? No.
We have a year and a half of power moves waiting to be field tested.
We don't really. We haven't had power moves for a long time.
We have power moves this week.
Do we have power moves this week?
Am I the Asshole is just a power move by another name, man.
Is it really? I don't think it is.
Kinda.
I don't agree with that assessment. Anyway, channelfiber.com, I do agree with the assessment. You should go there and buy, I don't know, any all sorts of colourful cardboard. They don't sell better cardboard anywhere on this earth.
And Riley, our ad reads channelfiber are gonna be changing very soon.
Yeah. There's change in the work. This is why we don't really have anything like this week at Channel Fireball, because this week at Channel Fireball, what it actually is behind the scenes, everyone scrambling to make sure that the marketplace is hot to trot and good to go in, what, 2 weeks?
September 30th for customers, but in like a week, we're going to start onboarding stores.
Yeah, I was sort of parting the curtain there a little bit with what's happening behind the scenes. But
if you own a local game store out there and you're wondering how you could maybe upload your inventory or how you could maybe adjust your shipping settings, you'll have the sultry tones of Riley Knight explaining how to do it for you.
If you're wondering about how to generate the quarterly revenue reports, you're going to have me to walk you through that process in the tutorial video.
You want to give us a little taste of some behind the scenes?
This is the hidden content. This is the hidden Riley Knight content that actually no one get. Like, you can't buy this. You can't.
No.
The only way to get access to this content is by, here you go,
signing up as a store and going to the FAQ for help on how to run.
Signing up for a store on the Channel Fireball marketplace, and then you'll get me, right? You'll get me talking you through things like what was the one? The account setup. Welcome to the Channel Fireball marketplace. In this video, we'll be showing you how to set up your account. The first thing that you'll see is the game landing page. From here, you can select your preferred game. This selection will be saved and will be the default landing page whenever you return to channelfireball.com. From here, we can select sign up in the top right. And if you want more of that sort of stuff, channelfireball.com, sign up as a store for the marketplace. And I don't know, Dennis, better draw could there be for people than that?
Then unlocking the Riley Knight FAQ. I'm pretty sure you can still see them on the FAQ page even if you sign up as a store, to be honest. But we'll see.
Don't tell them that. Anyway, channelfireball.com, coupon code Knight.
Smart.
With that in mind, Dennis, we have had a range of suggestions as to... You want to change the podcast's name?
Yeah, I think we've outgrown the name. Maybe that's the 100th episode.
That we changed the name? I mean, that would mark the...
Episode... Season one of Smar is over. We're moving on.
We change the name. So...
Agents of Smar.
Do we change it to what Tel Rizfen suggested? Knowledgeable nerds investigate gaming's hot topics.
The acronym there is a little bit of a turn-off for me, I have to admit.
What's the acronym? Oh, it's K-N-I-G-H-T. You know what, Dennis?
Didn't even notice.
I thought it was such a good suggestion. Knowledgeable nerds investigate gaming's hot topics. I thought, I mean, that works. Right?
It works perfectly. It rolls off the tongue.
It's very good.
And then, that, Sean, similarly, knowledgeable, nice, insightful gaming help tips.
It's that one is a little more forced, I would say. But I'd still accept it. I it's interesting they've both gone for knowledgeable and game. I guess knowledgeable games... Oh, that one's K-N-I-G-H-T as well.
Crazy. Weird, yeah.
Weird. So strange. So, all yeah, of the
Oh, that Sean does have one
we don't,
that, suggestion that I think is actually pretty good.
We don't need to worry about that one. I'm pretty sure we can. I think we got enough to be going on with Dennis
let's
here.
Pretend,
so.
Let's kick out the night ones for a second here. Oh, that Sean suggests tutorial mode.
It's not bad.
It's not bad.
It's pretty good.
I think it's actually pretty good.
Tutorial mode. What about easy tutorial?
Welcome back to easy mode.
Easy mode. A point of contention between you and me. You know, I had some people actually say thank you very much, Riley, for standing up for easy mode gamers everywhere.
Oh, dude, somebody has to play the heel. Otherwise, there's no debate.
Knowledgeable nerds investigate gaming hot topics or tutorial mode?
Easy could go either way.
It could go either way. I really do like the other one. I like the fact, like, yours was very good last week.
The one I made up on the fly.
It was like 2 weeks ago, so I actually can't remember it. I've already blasted my cash from then. But it is long.
It's long. We'd probably just call it K-N-I-G-H-T podcast.
That's fine then. Yeah, so coupon code not to check out. Anyway, keep those suggestions coming in. Or if you don't want us to change, let us know, because I like the name. I'm happy not changing.
Ooh, you know what we could do?
Go on.
Tutorial mode lets us put a little TM in the top right, which is cute.
That's not bad. That's a little logo that we've already got that's already, you know, encoded in Unicode. We can just use... We've got our logo ready to go. That's nice. All right, that's not too bad. I did say let's get straight into the advice, and now for the third time I'm going to belay that, because do you actually want to talk about the announcement, the product stuff? We're not a strictly speaking magic podcast, but yesterday there was a big announcement of like
A slew of products.
Yeah, I don't know. It didn't. It just kind of. There was someone
put on your
out,
Gandalf
it,
cosplay and floss on down to your local game store.
People were pointing out that it didn't really feel like a sort of what's coming up so much as a here are some products what we are releasing. You know what I mean?
What's the difference between those two things?
Well, like it didn't say, oh, here are the tournaments and here are the events.
Well, there
and
aren't any. That's why.
I suppose so. So yes, there was the 2022 showcase, I think it was called.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. And they announced about 10,000 different products that are going to be released.
A new Modern Horizons, and a new Double Masters, a new Jumpstart, a new Unset, two Kamigawa sets.
Is it just one? No, it's just one Kamigawa set.
Is it not two?
No, it's one. It's Kamigawa Neon Dynasty, and then there's like the Streets of New Capenna or New Caprena, whatever it is. That's not Kamigawa.
Is that not a Kamigawa
set? No. That's look at the architecture. We go from Cyberpunk to Art Deco.
Oh, that's true, I guess.
Yeah.
And then Lord of the Rings set. We got a
soccer themed set as well. Did you see that one?
What?
Dominaria United.
That's a good bit of gear.
Thank you very much.
That's a good bit of gear. We got what else we got? We got Street Fighter Secret Lair. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We got a Fortnite Secret Lair.
Yeah,
truly, this is the darkest timeline.
I don't know what's going on, man. I'm not yelling at this cloud. But I'm kind of rolling my
eyes. You're
acknowledging
the cloud's not for you.
I'm acknowledging the cloud's in me. I'm kind of rolling my eyes at it as it goes past. Look, whatever. I'm not here with scalding, spicy hot takes on this. I think it's... I don't know, man. I guess, you know, they say, oh, if you don't like the product, it's not for you. And I guess definitely...
I'm finding it exhausting to think about currently.
I guess in terms of the spread... It's pretty good because they've got like, you know, for all the 13-year-olds, they've got Fortnite. And then for like all the 33 or the 43-year-olds who have been
playing.
They've
got Street Fighter.
No, not even that. I was going to say like they are. I think one of the criticisms that's been leveled at Wizards recently and, you know, with a level of fairness, I think, is that they appear to be beginning to give up on their old franchise, enfranchised player base, right? Mm-hmm. But then Modern Horizons 2 comes out, you know. Then, I mean, I guess this is different, but like Dungeons & Dragons is... Dungeons and Dragons is like there is some old school shit in there. You know what I mean? That like they really rewarded rusted on D&D players. And I know that's not Magic or whatever. But then like Dominaria United into the Brothers War.
Yeah.
Like I don't care about the Brothers War at all, man. Like I don't have any idea. I wouldn't know a Mishra from an Urza if they bit me on the bum. You know?
Yeah, well, they will, and you will. They're gonna take you up Wank Mountain and we're gonna go.
I have no idea about any of this sort of stuff, right? But there's all these old Magic boomers who are they can't believe their luck. So I think the spread of the stuff that they're doing in terms of who they're aiming these products at, I think obviously they're looking for like new players and acquisition, all that sort of stuff, but it's very difficult now to argue that they're completely leaving old players and franchise players in the dark when you've got like the Brothers War, some arcane right. bit of Magic lore that from literally decades ago. Like, I don't have any idea about that story arc.
It is certainly before my time as well.
Exactly. So that it's difficult to argue they're giving up on enfranchised players. But certainly, Dennis, as you say, a lot of bloody products.
A lot of products.
Is it too many? Is there such a thing?
It reminds me of the dick flattening meme.
Okay, what is this?
I'm going to make a version of this meme for you very quickly.
Why can't you? Okay. There's never the easy way with Dennis. What is the dick flattening meme?
Let me just...
Dennis, this is an audio podcast. This is an audio format.
It's fine.
It's not fine. Can you explain what it is?
Here we go. It's time for another... Matt, I'm going to put this in the Discord for you.
Okay, but can you also just say what it is so people understand it?
I want you to be able to do it. So I'm just going to put it in the Jackal Discord. Gonna put it under submissions. Here we go, right? And then you can.
This is just the actual worst way to do it.
Here we go. Here it is. Premium podcasting, right here.
Okay, so it's the what are they called? The rage faces or whatever, circa 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lady who's saying it's time for another Magic release, and then there's a rather decrepit, old, sort of wrinkled,
tired looking man
with a head like a ball sack who's saying yes, wizards.
Yeah.
Dennis, that was not worth the 45 to 60 seconds it took.
You not seen that meme before where it's like, oh, honey, it's time for your dick flattening, I think is the original meme. And then they go, yes, honey.
I have not seen that, Dennis.
Well, now you have. And, okay. your life is all the richer for it.
I'm so sorry, everyone. Anyway, is it too many products? Dennis, you sell product for a living. Is it too many products?
I feel like yes.
Is that even, like, is it even possible though? Like,
I mean, look, they keep selling them, so demand must be there. So probably not in that case, I suppose. It feels less sustainable to me long term, but you and I are in the, you know, the invested player echo chamber.
Mm.
And that's probably not where the majority of Wizards' bread is buttered.
I'm just wondering, because I said, oh, it feels like too much, but then I actually try to justify that statement and I don't know, I can't really. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, it's just too much. Why is it too much? What, like, how can it ever be too much?
It makes releases feel less special when there's always a release.
I guess that's true.
Preview season is never ending.
Can you keep the hype train? Do you ever run out of coal for the hype train?
Possibly. I mean, Wizards is trying. They're limit testing the hype train, I think.
Well, I don't think that the hype train is running out of steam anytime soon. People are amped about this, man. People are excited about the stuff that's coming out. Of course, there are those who hate it, but like, I think something's going on here that a lot of people like you and I aren't ready or willing to recognize. And I think that is we are losing touch. I think that the people who are like, oh, you know, organized play, MPL, Wizards are letting us down, Magic's dying. Honestly, I think people who say that sort of stuff are starting to get just be a little bit out of touch of what Magic is, where it's going.
Hmm. You think we're just growing out of it?
I think that the it's not that the carpet is being pulled out from under us. It's just that, I don't know, as I've said before, like, Magic's not dying, it's just changing.
Like, you're right. I do feel like you and I are a little bit left behind, having been playing Magic for like a decade or whatever.
And in a very particular way.
Yes. But Wizards is doing this based on, you know, information they have that we don't, about sales and about reach, things like that. And like the Lord of the Rings set that's coming out the year after next. I have friends who heard about that, who messaged me, who have never wanted to play Magic with me, being like, oh, maybe we should play that together.
I got a message from one of my contacts with Rainbow Six, who is so amped to play with Fortnite cards.
Yeah.
Just so, like, I can't believe this. You know, like, I think they used to play Magic when they were younger. And then, like, when I was talking, like, oh, they're like, what's Magic like now? And I told them that sort of stuff. Like, oh, man, I bet I've got all my old cards. And now they sent me a message saying that I was like, might have to get back into it. So it works. The sample size of one, but, like, it works.
I think it is less for you and me. But look, maybe we just have to be more selective about what we get out of Magic.
Or, I mean, my perspective now is just to try to roll with the punches. If I'm going to continue to play with Magic, I have to accept that, like, things are changing, and maybe they're not even changing for the worst. It's not a time to grasp onto the old things that used to make the game what it is. Maybe the game is just, it's changing and evolving, and maybe it won't be for the worst. We don't know. It's definitely different, though.
Riley, before we get to advice again, I'm going to belay it a fourth time.
Okay, good. Excellent.
So we've read out spam emails on this podcast before.
Yeah.
Plenty of times. To raucous entertainment.
Standing ovations around the world.
I have just received, in the middle of the podcast, what I believe to be either my ticket out of this or a spam Discord message.
Imagine my surprise to learn that you are not fully focused on recording this podcast and are instead checking messages.
No. I got a pop-up that said, congratulations, Straniac. And I was like, hang on a second.
Okay, right. Well, never mind. I won't leave that until after I've finished recording the podcast with Riley. I'll check
Riley, I've won some Bitcoin.
Oh, geez. How much?
0.06 Bitcoin.
That is a low enough number for it actually to be like, oh, maybe I actually have won this.
How much is that?
It's like a few thousand, I think.
That is $3,000. Yeah, hang on a second.
That's a low enough amount of money to be like, oh, this is actually conceivable. All right.
I have been randomly selected among users of crypto Discord servers, such as, and then it lists a bunch of Discords that I am not a member of.
Okay.
We are a fast one crypto. You have won. How to get this? Sign up. Withdraw to your. Do you think I won $3,000?
Is this a Discord DM?
Yes.
Yeah, I got one of these as well.
How much Bitcoin did you
win? I honestly can't even, I was like, this is not real. I'm not even gonna waste my time on it. But maybe this is one of those things. I always imagine that. Just a guy standing in a
warehouse. The one Nigerian prince who's like, somebody please.
Or a guy standing in a warehouse full of free iPads. He's like, why does no one want these things? We've got all these millions of visitors to these sites and remember them? What happened to those? Remember those like banner ads?
You've won a free iPad.
Yeah. Click here on the fish to get the man.
You know, what happened was ad blocker.
But do they still exist, those ads? They don't still exist,
right?
I'm sure
they do. I'm sure if you go to some less savory websites on the internet, they're still full of that.
I haven't seen an ad on the internet for a very, very long time. Well, then
this is a tragedy, Riley. We had a lot of actual advice questions, and we've left them off the plate for way too long.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to it. Here we go. The first one comes to us from Oh That Sean, long-time contributor to the podcast. Oh That Sean, we value you so highly. Question: how old does a child need to play with a Switch? P.S. It is almost my daughter's 7th birthday, so please say 7.
I think 7 is about the right age.
Follow-up question, completely unrelated to the first: what sort of games should you buy for a 7-year-old? So, Sean, it doesn't sound like you really want advice so much.
One of those questions where they want us to just confirm what they already think.
you want us to know the business as validation. And Sean, can I tell you, I got some good news for you, because Dennis and I, we're here to give it to you.
I think 7 is about the perfect age.
I think 7 is about the perfect age for a Switch.
Now, here's an interesting question. When did you get your first gaming console?
I got my first Game Boy, I think, at the age of 8. And I remember very distinctly thinking, this is 12 months late.
Did I ever tell you about how I got my first gaming console? It's a classic Mozart move.
Go on.
I was 6, I think.
All right.
And, you know, asleep at 10:30.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard my parents laughing and giggling.
Mm.
And I got up and went to investigate. Now that, you'll notice, is a very risky opening to a story. That could go a lot of different ways.
Yeah, that could this could have been you laying back in a chaise longue talking to a psychologist about instead.
But no, I went into the living room where they were.
Okay.
And they were playing a Nintendo Entertainment System. They were playing not just Mario Brothers, Riley.
Yeah.
They were playing Super Mario Brothers.
Super Mario Brothers.
On a NES that I didn't know we had.
That would have been mind-blowing.
So my dad got a NES.
It's true. They do stay up and play video games all night.
Yeah. My dad got a SNES. I think it was a SNES. From a guy at work, and had come home at 8 p.m. and I was already asleep and had set it up and dicked around with it.
Yeah.
And I came out and I was like, what is going on?
Yeah. This is so unfair. Yeah.
And then I remember having the SNES. I remember having a really old, like, piss yellow PC that had Super Mario on it.
Yeah.
Like a demo of it. And I remember waking up in the morning and going and like tugging on my dad's shirt in bed and being like, Dad, I want to play video games.
Yeah.
And he'd get up and be like, do you want to play Mario on the computer or on the TV? And
I'd be like, how did you play Mario on the computer? What?
I had a PC that had like a demo of it.
Of Mario?
Must have just been a ROM hack or something, to be honest. But okay. Yeah, I don't know.
All right. Yeah.
My dad was a nerd. I'm sure he, like, I don't know. But yeah. I remember I was like, TV today, please. He'd be like, okay. And he'd go and he'd set up the Nintendo. Like,
your parents are so cool, man. I wasn't allowed to play my Game Boy except on weekends. And then it got taken off me on weekends. I was only allowed to play on school holidays.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. My parents did not like me playing video games at all.
My parents did take away the wrestling video games once.
I heard about that. You've told us about that, yeah.
Because I almost died body slamming
at random. You were trying the moves out at home. Yeah.
It actually happens. You watch on TV and then you do try out the move at home. It's a real problem.
Yeah. I had the Game Boy taken off me almost as soon as I was given it. Because
8 years old, 12 months late.
Yeah.
What are some not too dexterously challenging video games for a 7-year-old?
So you definitely want the classics. Obviously you want Mario Kart.
Mm-hmm.
I think even Super Mario Odyssey, I think from what I remember, is child friendly. Like there are a bunch of things that you can do. And like obviously they've got all the ridiculous like speed runny, super challenge stuff like that. But I think a 7-year-old will still have a good time just like mucking about in Super Mario Odyssey. I haven't played it, but I know that Splatoon is very popular. So I would say that that's where I'd start at least. Have you got some other suggestions here, Dennis?
Just some cutesy games that aren't too hard. Like Cuphead, just like a nice, easy one. Bad. If they like, you know, like dragons and little things, like Dark Souls might be
Don't listen. This is maybe not those ones.
I did immediately Google 10 hardest Switch games.
Yeah, of course you did. You absolute monster.
Like last year or the year before last, Nikki and I bought a Switch for her brother and her brother's kids.
And how old are they?
The youngest of which I think is 6 at the time.
Okay.
So, and the oldest of which I think was 12 or 13. So we're in that age group.
Yep.
And they went nuts for Mario Kart, man.
Yeah. Mario Kart's great. Mario Kart's it's one of those games that like, it's just perfect for kids. It's just built for, like it's actually sacrifices like adult playability, I believe. For kid playability, like, for sure. Just
game integrity.
Yeah, exactly.
I always wonder though, like I haven't gone back and played games that I played as a kid, like Crash Bandicoot, for example.
Mm-mm.
I always think like, how did I beat this game as a child? Because I know I did.
Mm.
I remember what the last boss looked like. And so I'm like, how did I get to the end? And is it, do you just trial and error it for hours and hours and hours?
I think
hours
that's
and
what
hours?
It was. I think that's what it was. You just, it was just the amount of time you put into them, right?
I had a friend who had a PS1 but didn't have a memory card, so he just had to leave it running all day when he went to school.
Oh, wow. That's brutal, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I never had that problem because the first console, actual console, that I got was an Xbox, so it had built-in memory.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Late to the game.
Oh, I mean, we didn't have a TV until I was 14,
fake
man.
Fake nerd. Fake nerd has been called.
Through no fault of my own. Let me point that out. My parents were very anti that sort of stuff.
Why are your parents wanting to have a video game?
They were just very...
Rot your brain, square eyes,
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, they were very... Why don't you? Why can't you be like your brother? Go outside, kick a football, that
why don't
sort
you go outside?
Stuff.
You live in Australia. It's basically like... It's like Mad Max out there. Oh, what are they talking about?
No, it's not that bad. No, I don't know. I was very like indoor kind of bookish kind of kid, and I love video games. And I don't know. My parents just wanted me to go out and like, you know, play footy and tennis and stuff, and I just wasn't that into it. So I don't know. This is a world they couldn't relate to, unfortunately.
I
know?
Wonder what that'll be by the time you and I have kids.
Oh, that's the thing. Like, if I have kids, I'm gonna be like, "Please, you want to play Pokemon with me?" Like, "Dad, I just want to go and kick a footy run." No. I want to go
to TikTok dance.
Sit down.
Leave me alone.
Sit down. We're playing Pokemon.
Okay, so this is the Pokemon board game. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, it's called Master Trainer, right? I used to play it when I was a kid. Like, Dad,
it takes
please,
6 to 7 hours.
Please, I just want to go outside and play cricket. It's like, no.
It could be worse. Like, Dad, I just want to study for my
yeah. No,
Olympics.
Get back here. We're gonna recreate. Come on, we'll watch Star Wars. Pokemon. The new Pokemon, you and I have played it. Very child-friendly indeed. So child-friendly, it couldn't hold our interest.
I talked about this at work call yesterday about how I thought that new Pokemon Sword and Shield was unplayably easy.
Yeah, so that'd be good for a seven-year-old little Pokemon there. Animal Crossing might be another idea. Depends on how much patience your kid has.
Could be a good way to teach a virtue to a child.
Animal Crossing is very much a play for half an hour to an hour each day max.
Kids don't really play games like that, though.
Yeah, I don't know.
You've seen kids wear out a Frozen DVD, man. I don't know if it's going to...
But apart from that, I don't know. What, like Luigi's Mansion?
Pokemon's... I have Luigi's Mansion. I thought it sucked.
Yeah,
I'm a 28-year-old man, so...
Yeah, I'm like medium on it. But no, look...
Smash Bros?
Oh, nah, come on. Not for a seven-year-old.
Why? Pikachu gets to fight Mario. That's cool.
No, I don't know how much... Like, it doesn't... Nah, I wouldn't say that. I think Mario Kart, Pokemon are the first two that I'd get. Maybe Super Mario Odyssey, if she likes that sort of stuff.
Oh, that's actually not a bad chance. Odyssey's a good game.
Minecraft.
Mm.
Minecraft on the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Plenty of options.
Skyrim.
What did you say before? Dark Souls?
Dark Souls. Cuphead is very cute.
Resident Evil, I think, is on there.
yeah.
Resident Evil 4 or something. So, there you go. Hack the Switch and put Hideo Kojima's Metal Gear Solid on it.
Now we're talking. Now on the Switch.
Now we're
that kid about existential dread. Good and early.
Yeah. Teach him about memes.
All right, we're pivoting from the digital to the corporeal, Riley.
To the analog.
The analog gaming. I love it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We got a question from Choingler. Am I the board game asshole?
Mm-hmm.
This one's presented to you in steps. You ready for
this? All right, go.
Step one, I'm playing Risk.
Yes. Okay. Next question.
I like Risk.
I can't stand Risk, mate.
Interestingly, and I swear to God, this is not me trying to pivot things always the same way. You know what is regarded as the best version of Risk?
Is it Metal Gear Solid Risk?
It is Metal Gear Solid Risk.
Of course it is Metal Gear Solid Risk. I don't like Risk. I've never enjoyed playing Risk. Anyway, continue.
You don't like rolling dice and just jamming into each other for hours and hours and hours with little to no strategy or input on your actual winning?
I don't like it. I don't like Risk.
Step one, I'm playing Risk. Step two, I anticipate losing against my opponent's overwhelming forces. Very good. Step three, in response, I stack all of my reinforcements on a territory in the middle of my domain. Step four, I choose to roll only one die while defending.
So what does that mean? Rolling
that basically
only one
means
die?
They turtled up and have made it so that it will take an inordinately massive amount of time for the opposing player to actually conquer this territory.
Is that the rolling only one die while defending?
Also putting all your guys in one thing, yeah.
Okay. So this is the equivalent of salt roping your opponent?
Pretty much.
I don't like it.
Now, but try and imagine what this looks like in the real world.
Okay.
In an actual battlefield.
Okay.
Everybody's turtled up in one bunker.
Yeah.
The enemy is pouring over the hill. Yeah. And, you know, two guys are about to go out and go, no. Just Steve. Just send out Steve.
Just send out one guy. Yeah.
Steve runs out, gets gunned down.
Yeah.
Enemies are like, two guys get it. No. Just Carl.
Just one person. Off you go. That's it. Hold him off.
We're buying time. Buying time for what? Who knows? Heat death of the universe. Let's go. That's our end.
There's no part of this that I like.
they lost you at we're playing Risk, right? But, like, step one, they lost you.
I don't know why you would want to continue to play. Like, how long do you want to spend losing this game?
Yeah, that's interesting.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, I think you probably are the asshole. You're kind of holding everybody else hostage.
I think so. Like, even if you enjoy playing Risk, wouldn't you enjoy playing, like, actual Risk and not just... I don't know. At that point, if I were the person attacking, I'd be like, I have won, okay?
I am going home.
I'm not going to continue to play. You can do the very funny joke by saying, well, you conceded, so I guess technically I won. Like, you can do that very funny joke, but everyone here understands that that's not the case and that I've won this game because you're being an asshole about it, so I'm going to stop playing. And if you want to try to rub it in my face, that's fine. Have fun
with
that.
They could roll 1,100 sixes in a row. You don't know.
They could, Dennis, but they probably won't. And no. I don't know who this is for. This is the sort of thing that if someone did this to me once as a joke, I wouldn't even be there like, ho-ho, very good. And if they constantly did it, I would stop inviting them to my board game nights. Because I wouldn't.
You
got to
reassess how many board game nights in a row you're playing Risk, by the way.
But if this is the sort of thing you're doing in lots of other games, like if this is your approach to this sort of thing, I don't know. I guess that there's just a certain type of person who thinks that this is very funny and doesn't read the room and realize that it's actually just annoying
people.
Who
values their own joke making above the collective fun of the group, basically,
Can I tell you this? Maybe this is just a one-off and maybe I'm reading into this too far, but like having dealt with people like this in the past, it makes me just not want to hang out with them. Because like, oh, I just can't be bothered dealing with their... I can't be bothered dealing with their nonsense tonight.
Interestingly, Riley, do you know what I just ordered for our board game group?
Go on.
Risk Legacy.
Oh, is that like a personalized version that we...
You look, but like, I think I played it once before, and like whoever wins the first game gets to like name a country. Stuff like that.
That's cool. Stranjakistan.
Stranjakistan, baby. Let's go.
Let's go.
I did that. We played Civilization once online, and no, I named all of my cities. Stranjakistan, Stranjakberg, Stranjakville.
Stranjakopolis.
What was the best one? Côte de Stranjac. It's pretty good. Côte de Stranjac. Costa del Stranjac.
Oh, very good. Yeah, Chong, you shouldn't do this. If you've done it once already, that's too many times. Don't do it again.
Yeah, the optimum number of times to do this is zero, like 0.6.
That one, Ginger. Ginger? Ginger?
I think that was spelled on the Discord.
I think it's a ginger. I don't know. Anyway, that one Ginger or Ginger says, I have trouble finishing games. I know it's common for people to have Steam libraries full of games that they've never played, but I feel like unless the game is really top-notch, I lose interest quickly. This leads to buying more games, chasing that feeling when you find a game that's truly special. Do you have any tips that could help someone finish more games they've started and as a result save a lot of money? So I've actually been through exactly this scenario where I ended up writing out a list. There was someone else in the Discord, John Nowett, who has his Steam library was enormous compared to mine, but end up making a spreadsheet, right, with the games. And if you go to howlongtobeat.com, you write out how long it will take you to actually play the games, and that gives you a sense of where you should actually start, but in trying to whittle down that.
If your goal is to finish as many games as possible, start with the 5-hour ones first, etc.
Exactly, right? So this is actually something that I've had to go through, but I found it very helpful to organize and be like, all right, I'm going to finish this game, right? I'm going to play whatever game it is, The Long Dark, right? Sit in my Steam library for ages. I'm going to play it. I'm going to finish it. Started playing it, got through the first chapter. I was like, I'm not going to finish this game. I'm not enjoying it enough. And I just gave up on it and I moved on.
How hard is it to make that call?
This is what you have to give yourself permission to do. And this is something, Dennis, that you know that I've struggled with for a long time, and not just with gaming. I find it very hard to leave, quote unquote, value on the table.
If you paid for a game.
I got to play it, right? I was talking the other week about Far Cry 3. Far Cry 5. I came back to that. I'm now kind of bored of it. I played the first third of the game. I'm like, that was fun. And now I'm like, I don't really want to do it the same thing four times.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, I don't know, like giving yourself permission to step away from a game once you've given it a go is fine. But also it's like anything. I mean, when you're trying to organize your time and decide what you want to spend your time doing or what tasks you want to get out of the way, it's helpful to try to organize it and be realistic about what you can achieve and also step away from stuff that is either unachievable or unenjoyable that you don't actually have to do.
We talked about this a little bit where like lately you and I both feel that we've drifted away from long action RPGs, which is like the games I used to love.
Yeah, of course.
And more to games like if I play a game of League of Legends or we play a game of Apex together or whatever, it takes 20 minutes or takes 30 minutes and then it is done.
Yeah.
And it was fun and I can play it again if I want.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's ridiculous because like if I sit and play The Witcher for 10 hours, I'm like, oh man, this game is so long and so blah, blah. Right. Whereas if I play Apex or another game like that, I mean, at the moment playing Destiny for 10 hours, I'm like, oh, that was fun. That was good. Like it's a feeling thing, I guess, like an investment thing. But
it's the same thing with TV. Like you'll watch 12 episodes of a TV series and you'll be like, I can't watch a movie. I don't want to commit to that.
Yeah. I've started rereading Lord of the Rings recently. I was like, I want to watch all the extended editions. I'm going to set aside the 10 or 11 hours I'm going to do it, right? And it's like, wow, that's a lot of time. But it's like, well,
I've done that in one sitting a couple of times before.
But the time is going to pass anyway, is the other thing, right?
Like that's true.
The 11 hours are still going to pass, so you might as well enjoy it.
Do you remember the two times you and I have made a call together on This Game Isn't Worth It?
Yes. Yeah. One was We Were Here,
mm-hmm.
which was it's a co-op game that both of us were quite excited to play because it looked really good. We got about half an hour into it, like, this just isn't.
There was 20 seconds of silence, and I was like, is this a miserable experience for you too? And Ryan was like, yes, it is.
It's just not working. What was the other one?
ODST.
That was true, yeah. ODST. So we were playing through the Halo series, which, broadly speaking, pretty action-oriented, pretty fast-paced, a lot of stuff going on them. Then ODST breaks up the formula by having this weird, like...
mystery?
Almost, yeah. Like this sort of Halo noir as investigate what happened to your squad and that sort of stuff. And it just wasn't working for us. I love ODST. Like, I still like the game a lot.
You said, but everybody has really fond memories of it. Maybe it's of the multiplayer mostly. I'm not sure.
The multiplayer was very good. But it was more just playing that with you in terms of what we were looking for out of that game. It just didn't work.
Was in the disappointing news about Halo Infinite?
Yeah, there's no campaign.
No co-op at launch.
No campaign co-op and no Forge.
But no campaign co-op, right? I would have played that with you.
Yeah, I mean, all right. 343 Industries. I guess I won't buy Halo Infinite. You know, I don't know. I mean, I like Halo, but I haven't played Halo 5. That's how much I like Halo.
Oh, wow. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. Anyway, you've got to give yourself permission to leave, quote unquote, that value on the table.
It's just some class fallacy, right?
Like, you don't have to play the game just because you've bought it, right?
Well, you talked about that doing this with PlayStation Now.
Yeah, when I got a PlayStation Now subscription, I was like, right, I cannot play any other game for the next 3 months because I bought a PlayStation Now subscription, so I have to play games on that because after 3 months they've gone. It's like, well, you could always just pay another £10 for another month or just get the game on Steam.
Yeah.
But I did this. I put hours into Kingdom Come Deliverance, which is just a bad game. And I was trying really hard for it not to be a bad game, but it was just a bad game. And I spent 20 hours playing it because I wanted to play it.
Do you remember that as a child when you, or not as a child, as like a teenager, when you'd spend $60 in a game, which was probably, 80% of all the money you had
try,
in the world.
Try 100 or 110 in Australia, but yeah.
Well, it's the same. It's just funny money.
Yeah.
Australian games are actually comically expensive. That's true.
Yeah.
And then, but then even if it's bad, you have to defend it to your friends.
You have to play hundreds of hours. You have to squeeze as much value out of that orange as possible.
Did you have a friend, and I was this friend, which is why I ask, who would convince everybody to buy a game and then stop playing it?
No. No.
I've done that many times. Been like, let's all play Star Wars Battlefront. It'd be great. Let's all get it.
Yeah.
I'm not really into it anymore.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that did happen with you, me, and Overwatch, actually.
Did it?
Yeah, because you and your mates were all playing Overwatch. And then by the time...
For like a week and a half,
What? It's a couple of months. And then
Recently or ages ago?
What? Ages ago.
Oh, yeah.
This is years ago. But I didn't have my... I was living out of a suitcase, not only my laptop. And then when I finally got my computer and I was like, all right, I'm ready to go. You're like, I don't play Overwatch anymore. We play League of Legends now. I'm like, all right, okay, well, mud. So what do you do? At least buying more games, chasing feeling when you try a game that's truly special. There's nothing wrong with buying new games. And there's also nothing wrong with trying something and not liking it and not going back to it. You know, like what my suggestion is to make the spreadsheet to figure out which games you actually do want to play. Give them a go. And if you don't want to play them, like, cross them off the list. Don't
be ready
to
make the call.
Don't do this thing where it's like, oh, I'll come back to it. Because then you'll just be stressed out because you still haven't finished The Long Dark. I'm not going to finish The Long Dark. I tried it. I played the first chapter. I'm like, I'm not going to finish this game. I don't think about it anymore.
I'm never going to finish Breath of the Wild.
See, and you've just accepted that and you've moved on from it. You've decided.
I've tried twice.
You're willingly depriving yourself of one of the greatest games of a generation. Right. You've decided that you don't want to. You know why? I've actually figured it out. It's just come to me just now, Dennis. I know why you don't want to play Breath of the Wild. Okay.
Why is that?
And maybe you're not brave enough to admit this to yourself.
Wow. Okay. Right? Big call.
But this is what it is. You're scared. That's what it is. You're scared.
I'm scared a bit too good.
If you play Breath of the Wild, you're no longer going to be able to go around truthfully saying Metal Gear Solid 3 is my favorite game.
No.
And you enjoy lofty,
I could pick up a
horse,
stick and go out into the garden and hit it against a wall until it broke and save myself $70. Thank you very much.
Dennis, you enjoy bonking your head on bridges as you trot under them on your high horse, right?
Wow.
So much. Your love of Metal Gear Solid is so precious to you that you you can't possibly conceive of playing a different game that maybe
I tried it, dude. I tried it twice for like 4 hours apiece.
What happened?
It's a boring game.
It's not a boring game. What happened? Did you break too many traveler swords?
That was part of it. I was like, it felt like an open world game where there was no real reason to explore, and I didn't really care about the story.
See, that's bizarre. Because the reason to explore is to see what's like that. It's, there's no like if you need a glowing waypoint on the other side
it's
of the.
It's not
mountain
about a glowing waypoint. I was never rewarded for exploring. I didn't feel like I could find anything interesting.
That is the most bizarre. Where were you exploring? Like what region of the map? Like
I spent like 20 minutes climbing a hill that I couldn't climb, and then I got killed by some guys with clubs.
So that was the reward. The people on the, you could have killed the people on the club. Like the, yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously, I love Breath of the Wild, but like that thing's like, oh, there's nothing to find. There's no cool things to like. That's the whole game is finding weird and cool things across the entire map. That's bizarre.
That's how I feel about Skyrim. Well, it's just all about finding weird and cool things around the map.
But that's what Breath of the Wild is as well. It's just less signposted than Skyrim, I think.
I think Skyrim is too signposted. I agree with you there.
That's bizarre. Anyway, the point is Dennis has given up on Breath of the Wild, right? Rightly or wrongly? Wrongly, we all know. But I think you need to give yourself, you need to get out of that mentality, and I struggle with this still now, of like, no, I bought it, so I have to get the value out of it. I don't know, man. Like sometimes you go to a restaurant and you order your favorite dish and it comes out and it's as bad this time. Mm-hmm. And you don't chase that money. You just like, okay, it's just bad. I spent $20 on this meal and it's not what I wanted it to be, so never mind.
Playing a game for 4 hours and not enjoying it should not be a compelling reason to play the game for a further 12 hours.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, if you say it like that, it is abundantly clear you should just stop playing the game.
So
no one's going to give you a medal for finishing The Long Dark or whatever.
No. I mean, Steam will give you achievements for it, but they're not like...
Oh,
that's,
hang on a second.
That's
hang
not
on a
second. Achievements. No, the point is here, I would say make a list, right? Check it twice. Figure out which games are naughty or nice. Play the ones that you like. If you don't like a game, don't be afraid to scrap it, right? Like, don't be afraid to just be like, I'm taking this off the list. I'm putting the strike through it. I'm not going to play it, right? It's very hard to do that, but that's my advice, that one, Ginger.
I'm sure there's plenty of times you bought a movie ticket and not enjoyed the movie.
Exactly. And when it comes to, like, buying new games, maybe pull back on that a little bit, I guess. But if there's a game that you like the look of and you want it and you try it and it doesn't work, hey, you know.
Nah, capitalism. Consumption is the only path to happiness.
What's the saying, Dennis? Nothing ventured, nothing gained.
You did it. You actually correctly did it.
Is that it?
Yes.
Nothing ventured, nothing lost. Nothing ventured, nothing lost.
No.
I can't. I mean, what is that
nothing
sentence?
Nothing ventured, lost is a fact as well.
What is it? Nothing ventured, nothing.
Nothing gained. You have to risk something to win.
Nothing ventured, nothing gained. If you don't venture anything, you don't gain anything.
Yes.
But nothing ventured, nothing lost is also true.
Yes, but that's not a useful...
Much better. Never play any games, that one, Ginger.
You will never
podcast.
Play a game you don't like if you never play any games.
There you go. Perfect. Perfect. Never do what Dennis did and find your personal Breath of the Wild and hate that if you never play a game in the first place.
What's the
place?
Most popular game you didn't like?
That's a good question.
Mine's definitely Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, Breath of the Wild, easy one for you. I'd have to think about that. What's a popular game that I didn't like? I don't know. Should we transition into Charizard Mere River here? Because I've got a video game story I'd like to tell that involves a very popular game.
Okay.
I was at my friend Ross's place. We're big on Hitman. I've really, really gotten into Hitman in a big way, right? And there's a great thing called Hitman Roulette. So when you play, have you played much Hitman?
I've played some of the new one, but not the new one.
Right. Okay. So in Hitman, basically, you're given this kind of sandbox playground type world. Or not world, like a level, really. There's more, it's not quite a world. Countless different ways to eliminate your mm-hmm. your targets. Broadly speaking, the game, it gives you some ideas, right? It nudges you, gives you a little... It's like, oh, targets just
that
walked under that...
VIP pass is hanging a little loosely off their belt.
And the targets just walked under that chandelier, huh? Oh, well, terrible. It would be a great shame if, blah, 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 right? So it's not very hand-holdy. It can be if you want it to be, but broadly speaking, they just let you go and run amok, right? But Hitman Roulette, which you can Google and find, it is a very fun and very silly way to play the game. What it does, right, is it gives you a combination of weapon, outfit, and location, and style, like method, that you mm-hmm. have to kill a target. So it tells you specifically, and the game
you
is
have
built.
To kill, you have to have a sniper rifle wearing a chicken suit to kill this person at the gala.
See, you say sniper rifle, Dennis. Try fire axe. Try kitchen knife, you know, thrown kitchen knife. You can't stab them. You have to throw it, like that sort of thing, right? So the game is very much designed to push you in a certain direction. For example, you know, in one level, there's like, you know, the evil army general will sit down to have dinner at one point, and you can dress yourself up as a waiter, poison the food, serve him the poisoned food. He'll eat it and die, right? And the game is designed to facilitate that.
Mm.
But instead, on this one, it's like, all right, you need to dress up as a bizarre trader who has no business being in the area that the soldiers are fortifying, who's immediately going to be caught out, and you need to kill this guy with a screwdriver. So the the game gets so much harder, and it's so much harder to like find ways to actually do it. It's brilliant, brilliant fun. Anyway, I was over at Ross's. We were playing that. We're having a great time. Master Assassin. And then I noticed that when I'd arrived, he'd been playing Fortnite, right? Which I've never played. So I watched him play that for a little bit, then we got to him.
Magic the Gathering expansion?
Yeah, that's it. The famous Magic the Gathering spin-off, Fortnite, right? So I was like, I want to have a go. Never played Fortnite before in my life. I played Fortnite, Dennis, and you won't believe this, I won.
I don't believe it.
I got a number one victory royale. And you know that I'm not very good at shooting games. Especially not on console with a controller. I couldn't believe it. I got like 7 kills and 1. And I'm not good at these games.
No, I can attest to that.
So maybe I've just
how?
Missed.
How? How? What?
Dennis, I don't know.
Were you
I was,
building towers? Were you tilting people off of them?
The
what
only
happened?
Thing that I built was when I couldn't reach something that was on a roof. And so I built a bunch of walls and before because I couldn't figure out how to make the tilted thing. And then I eventually made the tilted thing. Couldn't get it at the right angle. Gave up and went off somewhere else.
You did it. You wiped that tomato town.
I don't even know if I went to a tomato town. But the other players playing that game are so bad, running in circles and like just standing in the way and like shooting into the air. If that's the game experience, I'd love it because I'm terrible at shooters, and it was brilliant playing that. But yeah, I don't think I'll ever play it again. Why would I? Got nothing left to prove.
100% win rate.
That's it. Let's go, baby.
It's pretty outrageous. Pretty outrageous.
So maybe, I don't know, is it Fortnite the game that I... but it, like, hating Fortnite is something...
You loved it!
I guess I did love it, but I'm not going to... Like, I loved it in a way it's like, all right, I've done that.
Riley.
Go on.
Would you play Fortnite with me sometime? Duos, let's go. We should just play Apex.
I'd rather just play Apex. Like, I'd rather than playing Baby's First Apex, I'd rather just play Apex.
Wow, big call.
What have you been playing?
I've been playing a little bit of Ghost of Tsushima Director's Cut since I got back.
So has that got DLC or new stuff in it, or what
there's
is it?
There's DLC. There's a new island and stuff, but also they added like, it's the PS5 version, so it's like it looks nicer and stuff. They added all the like haptic triggers, like you have to pull really hard on the trigger to pull the big bow back and stuff, all that kind of stuff.
That's cool.
You should try it when you come over.
I do want to actually play Ghost of Tsushima. It's on PlayStation 4, right?
Yeah, and the Director's Cut's on PlayStation 4 too.
Okay, maybe I'll get it actually, yeah. Yeah, because I don't
know. Really, I think you'd like it a lot. Like it is one of those... It's basically an Ubisoft game. It's not actually a Ubisoft. It's a Sucker Punch game. But it is... And I never liked Assassin's Creed much because I got bored doing that.
Okay.
In Ghost of Tsushima, I did not.
That's interesting. Yeah. I mean, I'll give it a go. It sounds like fun.
I found the combat much more fun and engaging than Assassin's Creed combat.
So usually the director's cut has stuff that didn't make it into the like final game.
I don't know why it's called that. There is a couple of extra stuff, like a couple of extra skill points and stuff like that, but it's just the DLC.
Oh, so it's not like a director's cut where they put in the stuff that was like, you know, too contentious or
too silly or whatever. Yeah,
so nothing like that. Oh, so you don't get to see his dick and balls?
No, I'm afraid not.
Okay, because that's what I was thinking. Like, oh, director's cut. Okay, we got to see the ass in the original one.
Yeah, getting in out of the onsen. Yeah, yeah.
Now, do we get to see the whole package, as it were?
Real next generation gaming, though, Riley.
Yeah,
on the PS5, it's got all the advanced like rumble and vibration stuff and like all that.
Don't tell me you can fart, please. No, it's a game of every year, 10 out of 10.
But when you pet a cat, the cat purrs.
Yeah, that's like
that's pretty good.
Yeah, but I wasn't in that space. I was in the
you were in the farting.
I was looking at a bare ass.
You were
going
to fart in a
hot spring.
Hot spring.
That's what I was wanting to do.
Right. There's one thing I want to talk about before we wrap up here.
All right, let's go.
Which is, I have discovered a website that contains hidden information, forbidden information.
Is it abandoned information?
No.
Okay, thank goodness.
It is a website that, having put my name in, will tell me how many hours of League of Legends I've played.
Do so. Have you? Have you?
I've done it. I want you to think about what that number might be.
Okay, I have a couple of questions for you. When you discovered that number, when you saw that number the first time, what was the emotion that you felt?
Oh God!
So surprise,
despair,
despair. Actual like right through surprise and all the way through to despair.
Yeah.
Dennis, if you were to walk down the street and mm-hmm. come across like trip over a brown envelope, open it up and find that many euros inside, right?
Yep.
What would the trajectory of your how much would your day change?
My day would not. It would be a really, really great week.
It'd be a great week.
I'd be like, whoa.
Yeah. All right. So this is a
dude,
story.
Dude, on Tuesday, if I didn't speak to you until Friday, I would tell you about the thing that happened to me on Tuesday when I found this brown envelope.
So, but it's not the sort of story you'd be telling like at the end of the year.
No, it'll be a forever anecdote.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, I'm guessing at a minimum four figures now.
Yes.
Because like finding 500 euros in an envelope, that's a great day. That's a great week. That's a pretty good month. But like, if you're still telling that story at the end of the year, it's kind of like, well, you really. I mean, yeah.
If 500 I found this amount of euros in an envelope, I think I would take it to the police.
There we go. Yeah. Because like 500 euros in an envelope, that's a healthy cash injection, but like I don't think that's a forever anecdote, is it? Maybe it is.
No, I mean, oh god, I mean, it's not much of a story anyway, right? Oh, one time I found X euros, cool.
Yeah. So with this amount of money, you would be going to the cops, okay?
In hours, I'm talking here,
Dennis. Let's imagine that you were kidnapped, right?
Okay.
And this amount of money was,
I like this triangulation strategy,
was demanded as a ransom for your safe return.
Yes.
Okay. Your parents are refusing to pay it. How do you feel?
I would be offended.
Okay. All right. So it's not it's not that.
I think you might pay this amount for my ransom.
Wow. Okay. So it's low four figures then. All right. I'm going to guess. I'm going to say 2,200 hours.
2,496.
Dennis, that is a lot of hours playing League of Legends.
This website's even worse. It says, in that time, you could have read 412 books. You could have watched 1,426 movies.
Hang on. Back up. What? How many books?
412.
That's not true.
I feel like it's...
That's not true.
That's what it says.
It's
too low.
My Kobo keeps reading, like keeps track of how many books I've read and how many hours, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've read for more hours than that and I've read fewer books.
You've read for more than 2,500 hours?
In the last... When did I get my Kobo? In 2014, yeah. 2015?
You might be reading above average length books.
That is true. I do read like weighty fantasy. Well, I say weighty. It's not like I'm not bragging here. There's just fantasy novels. Fantasy novels. They, you know,
they're never under 400 pages.
The Brandon Sandersons of the world. They don't. They do tend to. You know, they give you a very well-rounded picture of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly it's Discworld though.
That's pretty long too.
Actually, I have reread a lot of books, and that probably doesn't make the tally.
So it doesn't count. Yeah.
Okay, maybe it is close to that, but yeah, no.
Yeah, 2,500 hours was more than I was hoping for. I'm not gonna lie.
Well, okay, here's something that I console myself with. Like the 350 hours that I played playing Apex, right? I would say maybe one at the most, perhaps 1.5 hours of that I played by myself. And that was just chasing down quests or whatever. 348 of those hours was with friends. It was a social activity.
Because of COVID, League was how I socialized for about 12 months.
So I'm gonna let's put this number in context. What percentage of that number do you think is with friends? Half?
Probably more than half.
Okay. So like look at it through that lens. And also, Dennis, do you enjoy playing League of Legends?
Yeah, and I often do it while I listen to podcasts.
Would you enjoy reading 450 books?
Probably a couple of them.
But this is the thing. Like, this is the mentality.
Time enjoyed wasting is not time wasted.
But this is the thing that this is the attitude my parents always had. Oh, go outside, kick a footy, read a book. I mean, they didn't say that. I was always reading books and stuff as a kid. But like, reading a book isn't intrinsically better than playing a video game.
I think there's a temptation. I mean, it's weird. Like, people think that when you're playing a video game, you're always playing Grand Theft Auto or Call of Duty, those are action or satire books, games, and they don't. And then when you read, they always think you're reading Grapes of Wrath or Of Mice and Men.
No, but you're not. Sometimes you're just reading like The Girl on the Train
or Captain Underpants as a child.
Yeah, yeah.
And you could be reading Captain Underpants.
Captain Underpants is great.
or playing Return of the Obra Dinn.
Yeah.
And I would rather my child play Return of the Obra Dinn than read Captain Underpants every day.
Sorry, mate. What age is this child that's playing Return of the Obra Dinn?
The perfect age for all video games, right? He's 7 years old.
So your seven-year-old is watching one-bit figurines get ripped in half.
By crab men, yes.
Okay, maybe not that. No, look, it's tough. Like, a lot of people look at these, you know, the total hours played, and it's like, oh my goodness, what a waste. It's like, well, no, it's not. If you like playing video games, more power to you, you know? Go and have a walk.
You know what I prefer?
Go out in the sunshine every now and again when you can, but, you know, balance.
You know what I prefer playing video games too?
Go on.
Scrolling through shit on my phone.
Yeah, oh yeah. That's I don't know, man. Maybe I'm just like predisposed to hate this sort of stuff, but that's the sort of that makes me go, ugh, that's a waste. That's a waste, man. Yeah. So do you actually feel despair at that number?
A little bit.
Do you actually?
I'm a little bit upset.
I feel like you shouldn't, man. I hate League of Legends and I feel like you shouldn't.
I wonder what your number is. Hang on. You're right equator on there, right?
Here we go. I'm going to guess like 30 or 40.
That probably sounds about right, yeah.
Yeah.
60.
Oh, dear.
That's pretty high for a game you didn't like.
Well, okay. I'm allowed to feel despair at that because I hate League of Legends. Oh, well, there we go. Well, this has been Scrimey River, maybe soon to be called Tutorial Mode, but probably Knowledgeable Nerds Investigate Gaming's Hot Topics. Maybe that could be... Okay, how about this? Tutorial Mode, : Knowledgeable Nerds Investigate Gaming Hot Topics. That works. Subtitle? Kuma Code Night Attacker?
Subtitle.
Or I guess if we go Tutorial Mode, then it's Kuma Code TM at checkout.
Kuma Code TM is pretty... Finally, the shortest on LR terms.
Well, then do we just make it Tutorial Mode one word, right? Kuma Code T at checkout.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. Then we finally beat bloody Voxy, LVD, LR...
I think TM is probably going to be the way to go. That is the best suggestion we've had so far.
Yeah. Well, keep them coming in. Or if you want us to leave it as it is, let us know as well, because I wouldn't mind having a bit of ammunition in that regard. Anyway, thanks for listening. We'll be back next week, of course, and looking forward to your company then. Thank you to Joachim Karad for the use of the theme song Shine. Go and have a listen to his music. It's very good. And it's available for free. If you make content as well, you can use his music in your stuff as long as you attribute it to him. And He's got. You know what my favorite thing about Joachim's music? There's two things I like about it. It's both fly. What did I say?
Well, you said Joachim, but it's...
My mate Joachim. The two things I like about his music is both fly and dope.
Okay. That's what you put on the back of the CD case, I think.
Keep those questions coming in. bit.ly/join Riley's Discord, the best place to do that. Scroll down, you'll find the smart submissions thing. We do have a lot. We're going to work through the backlog of them. We got a lot over the last couple of weeks.
Do not stem the tide.
But no, keep them coming in, because some of them, real stinkers. You wouldn't
general gaming, all gaming.
Yep. And it's good. We've had a healthy cross section of them. We had a bit of magic, a bit of card game, a bit of board game, a bit of video gaming, all sorts of stuff. It's been great. So thank you very much, everyone who's jumped on board this pivot with us. But that's it. That's all she wrote. See you next week.
Stay fresh, cheese bags.